Jo Muirhead, and this is the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast, a podcast for health professionals who want to know how we continue to serve our patients and our clients without sacrificing ourselves to the work. More than a conversation on making money or just burning out, this podcast has been created to progress conversations that we need to have to ensure that we know who we are so that we can serve those who need our help, so that we can actually be the significant difference in the world. Welcome to the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast. I am your host, Jo Muirhead, with another informative, probably a bit slappy in the facey type of episode today, because my guest is a fellow coach and business owner, and both of us are known for being straight shooters, telling it how it is, and holding people accountable. So look out if you want to know how coaches talk to each other. So I've asked Frances Harvey, if you want to say it like an Australian, Frances Harvey, to come and talk to us today about her experience as a coach in the private practice community. And I've done it quite deliberately because coaching is a thing. And we've got good coaches and we've got not so good coaches, and we've got coaches with terrible reputations, and we've got coaching that might have a terrible reputation. Mm-hmm. And then we've got really poorly defined expectations of coaching. And then we've got other people who are doing something that's not really coaching, but calling themselves coaches. So I thought it was important to start having conversations with people who coach, who use genuine coaching techniques and skills, who've studied it, who are actually deliberate in what they do. So welcome to my conversation with Frances today. Frances, give us a little bit of a background about who you are, what you do, and how you got to be on this podcast today.
Oh, cool. Okay. So I'm Frances J. Harvey. And who I am real quickly is, I'm fun. I'm full of life. I'm intense. I tend to overachieve. Jo's laughing because she knows all of this. I'm married almost 40 years in April. I know. I have two grown boys. I have a granddaughter that is 8 and she's brilliant. Yeah.
She's eight and a half.
Next month, 8 and a half.
So, yes, and she would be telling you that she's 8 and a half now.
Oh, yeah. We have two dogs at home, and we love to travel. My granddaughter is in Germany, so we do travel quite a bit. I love the beach. It's my happy place. And in terms of my work, I have been running and helping people set up and manage businesses for 30-plus years. I've been a certified coach for 11 years, master certified coach. I have been the CEO, founder of My Solution Services for 10 years, been in mental health industry for 17, going on 18 years. And I absolutely love what I do. I love working with clinicians and professionals. I love being able to, as Jo said, speak straightforward and have the accountability, but the seeing the growth and the hard work that they do is so rewarding. It's really fun. And I got here because I've known Jo for since 2016.
Okay, it's been a while.
It's been a while. And we met because somebody in her said, you've got to meet Jo. And I'm like, okay. And first time we ever spoke, it was a 2-hour conversation. And by the time I was done talking to her, I knew that she was my coach. And so she was my business coach for 4 years. And I would not be where I am without Jo Muirhead today. So if you meet a coach.
That was a completely unexpected, unscripted, and if you're watching on the video, you'll see that I'm a little bit stuck for what. Thank you, Frances. It's been an honor to see you grow and develop. And I think already from this conversation, I'm hoping people listening can start to see that people who are coaches have the genuine desire to see their clients flourish. Mm-hmm. It's not about look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. It's about look at them. look at them. How can I make you look good? How can I make you look better? And I used to say to people all the time, like, you doing what you do makes me look really good. Because, and people would go, why? Is that because I'm so bad at it? And I'm like, no, that's comparison. It's because your success is actually what feeds my soul. And that's why I do what I do. Because as you know, and you've told you, neither of us can help all the people, can we? Like, we can't sit in front of 7 million people and get them the support they need. So right. One of the things you do brilliantly is help people with their, with operationalizing their businesses so they're left to do the therapy or the treatment or get paid.
Yeah. What a concept.
It's my solution services offers kind of, it's a range of things. There's multiple things you're doing there. So a lot of people would just think it's answering telephones. And I get pretty cranky when I see that because it's like, seriously? You have no clue. Frances, for those of you who can't see, she's shaking her head going, no. Does anyone read my telephone anymore? So tell us what my solution services can provide. Like, what do you do? What do you do for health businesses or private practices?
Thanks, Joe. I will tell you, this is one of the first things Joe did for me, and she's not solicited this, but one of the first things she did for me when we started working together was she helped me to see and stand apart, set apart from just a typical VA, which a lot of people come to me saying, you know, VA, VA. Well, no, that's not what we are. Literally, we're online business management, practice management, strategies, systems. We help clinicians with daily operations and tasks of the business side of therapy. So it's way more than just answering phones. And because we specialize in mental health, when I first started doing this, I was probably really one of the first out there online to do this for mental, specifically for mental health clinicians. And that comes from my background of being a director for 8 years at a agency here in Southern California. And what I realized was clinicians need support, but they need support the way it works for their practice and not just a cookie cutter support. And so I really stand apart from a lot of the other support groups out there or VAs or whatever you want to call them to try the best I can to customize our services to each individual clinician and practice. So yes, we do phones and scheduling intakes, but that's what our intake coordinators special in. They're not VAs, they're intake coordinators. And I have to say that several times at a consult for the clinician to get that into their head. They're specifically trained with a course I wrote that is what they do. They focus on getting the intakes and the scheduling handled so their revenue can increase because that's a lifeline to their practice. If that's all they're doing and they don't have any side gigs or they're not speaking or they're not coaching or they're not writing or, you know, whatever, writing books or their clients coming in that they see, the ones calling, the ones seeking, that's the revenue at that moment for them. And so we want to focus on that so we can grow that so they can do the other things that they want to do eventually, whether it's writing, creating courses or whatever. So Joe helped me to say, no, you guys are practice management. You're not just, you know, I was trying to help people understand the difference between a VA and an online business manager or a practice manager is a VA will do those tasks for you. And some of them are amazing and they do so well, but you have to teach them. You've got to train them. You've got to tell them what to do. You have to think for them. What we do is, we can come along and say, hey, have you thought about doing this in your practice? Because we're getting calls on a regular basis for this kind of service that we don't see you having. And we could fill you up really quickly or your team if you hired somebody that specialized in whatever it is. So we're going to, not only are they trained specifically, but we're going to also speak into their practice about how they could grow to what they do. So Yeah, we do the phones and scheduling. I write with them. I help them in blocking. We do training for EHRs. We do integration of forms for EHRs. We do a lot of admin work. We're just whatever I can do that I know that we can do is what we do. So our tagline is one solution, multiple services coming out of my solution services. So
yeah,
that's kind of in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I think I heard you speak at a conference once, and it really, and the way you delivered it really hit home to me, and helped me go, this is how we've got to help other health professionals understand this. You were in a therapy. You tell this story from the stage. You were in a therapy session, and it was your therapy session. You had paid to be in that session with that therapist, and there was stuff going on in your world, and you needed help. And you could see that the therapist was not paying attention. You could see that they had zoned out and they had gone somewhere else. And you felt like you were being duped. You felt like you were in a position. You started to talk about, should I even be here today? And you know, because of the stuff you were going through, you kind of jumped into it. Do I need to take care of this other person sitting in front of me? Now, I'm not exaggerating, because I've heard Francis speak about this. And then what you did is you went back to your business and you looked at it and you went, how many health professionals are sitting in their practices worrying about their phones and how many calls they've got to respond to at the end of session? How many of them are worrying about where their money's coming from next week? How many of them are not paying attention to the person sitting in front of them because of all of these non-in-the-room, non-therapy things getting in the way? And when I heard you say that, I remember the audience, there was about 100 people in the room, it fell silent because you called everyone out going, ooh, crap-a-doodle. that's the PG version. Ooh, crap-a-doodle. I have been that person. Now, we're not here to shame anybody, but what we're saying is I'm a health professional. I'm a clinician. I have been guilty of sitting in front of a client going, oh, crap, I've got that many phone calls to make at the end of the day, and then returning to the conversation going, oh, my God, look at their face. I wonder what they've just told me that I've got no recollection about. And then you try and fudge your way through. Yeah, I just put myself out there like, okay, it doesn't happen every session. And so I think I'm passionate about my solution services, and you know, you won't get it 100% right 100% of the time, and, you know, we'll have people that'll turn up to this and go, I'm going to complain about this, that, and the other thing, and people turning up to my own email telling me how much they, you know, don't like my services.
Right.
But Francis is committed to finding solutions for you, not that work for someone else. And I think that's one of the things that sets you apart. It's, you don't need 20 hours of this or 7 hours of that, or because this is all we offer. It's like, well, you need somebody obviously to manage your schedule. You now need somebody who can help you manage your money. You now need somebody who can help you get verified on insurance panels. We don't necessarily do that, but we can help you. You now need somebody to help you with your blogging. Yeah. And then Francis goes, right, so let's make this happen. Have I got that right, Francis?
Pretty doggone close, yeah.
Are you doing insurance verifications now?
We actually are doing just that. We don't do billing.
We do verification. That's a new service, people.
We do verification, but not billing. I will farm that out till the day I die. Sorry.
But it's, how important is it then? Like, you know that about yourself. You know what you will not do. Because you coach as well, like you've got My Solution Services, which offers this great range of support, but then you also coach the owner of the business to help them become a business owner, pretty much. Like that's what you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How often does that conversation need to happen around what won't you do?
Actually quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, in the beginning, you know, when you're trying to build a business, it's not easy. But see that right above me? It says release.
Yes. Release.
There's a story behind that. It's something that I've learned over the years is you know, if you don't do it, don't just say, oh yeah, I could do it or learn it, because you're not going to do it well. It's not your strength. We have to work in our strengths and what we're called to work in. So I find the more I release and open my hands and go, you know what, we don't do that, but let me help you find somebody who does. Kind of like when clinicians, you know, will say that about the client that isn't the good fit for them. You know, I don't do that, but let me help you find somebody who does, or let me give you some referrals for somebody who does. And I find that when I do that, it opens up the door for those to come that need to work with me for what I do. So it happens a lot. It comes up a lot. The question of billing will always be there for us. We always, always, always get that. And I don't have a problem saying, no, we don't do billing. But here's what we do, and here's what I can give you in terms of going out and looking. So holding on to things, doesn't work.
Tried it,
been there, done that.
Yeah, and you did try it, and it's. I think it's so important to know what we won't do, and that's not always easy for somebody who's just starting out, right? Especially when they're terrified that they're not going to get any clients.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, is there kind of a point in a person's journey, a clinician's journey, where you start going, hang on a minute, we need to stop, time out. We need to start thinking about what you're not going to be offering. Can you think of some examples of clients that you've worked with around this issue?
Yeah, I think more so than specifically that would be that either when they're starting out in the practice, maybe they're coming from a group practice and they're starting their own private practice, or they could be coming right out of grad school. They want to grab onto everything and try to do everything. And a lot of times they try to do it and just make decisions on the whim without getting all of the facts first of how is this going to intertwine. Because mm-hmm. one of the things I do in the coaching room is, or Zoom, you want to say, is, okay, you have all this on your plate. This is what you do. But before we do anything, we need to figure out what your priority is. So it's kind of like a reverse of what you're asking. It's like, let's eliminate, you know, what isn't important. Maybe it's on the back burner. Maybe it's not completely gone, but it goes on the back burner. You know, some they'll come to me so overwhelmed, they're literally in tears. I can't tell you how many tissues I could have gotten over Zoom if I could. But they'll have 20 things on their plate that they I need this and this and this. Okay, stop. We got them all written down. Now let's narrow this down to the top five or top three. Okay. I usually go with three because it's a lot less overwhelming. Now that we have that three, let's take those and let's prioritize from the top to the bottom. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Now we know what's number one important that you need to do next. Joe always said to me, what do you need to do next? Okay. So I think that is, for me, that's the way I help them to understand what doesn't work for them and what they shouldn't be doing in their practice. Or, you know, do you really want to just take every client that comes your way because they're a living person breathing and they've got a pocketbook? No, you don't. So don't even think about that. You know, let's find out, let's narrow down. What is your area that you need to really focus on and that you shine in and that you're the best, your skill set, so on and so forth? So I think prioritizing all of what's on their plate, narrowing it down to three, prioritizing the three will help them to go, okay, I don't need to be doing that. I should not be doing that. There's some things they should be doing because only they can do it. And then there's all those other things they should not be doing.
And there's this fear that comes up around, I won't have any money, nobody, that like the whole scarcity thing turns up. And in the beginning, you probably do need to see quite a wide variety, but in the very beginning, Don't turn clients away if you need to put money on the table, like food on the table. We're not saying that. Please listen with discernment and wisdom. But what we are saying is you don't have to be all things to all people.
Right.
But sometimes you don't know what you don't want until you spend some time talking to somebody like Frances. Because I bet you've had people turn up in your room going, I want to be this type of therapist with this type of therapy practice, and I want you to help me get you there. And you go, sure. And then, you know, three sessions in, you're like, do you really want this? Because you're not behaving like you do. This episode of the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast is brought to you by Purple Co's Activating Resilience Program. This 8-week program is foundational for anyone who wants to develop a genuine practice of resilience. I asked Activating Resilience co-creator and coach Kylie Worry to share how this program has helped transform her world. Here's what she had to say.
Why do I believe in the AR course? I often get asked, why do I believe in this course? The reason that I believe in this course is that it's changed how I practice and the results that I get in the work that I do. It's changed the way I relate to my clients and how they relate to me. I am no longer the expert in the situation, but I empower the client to be the expert. I believe that each one of us has the answers to our problems inside of us, and we just need help sometimes to find those answers. The Activating Resilience course teaches you how to relate to your clients in this way, how to use the simple yet powerful tool to support this process, and how to feel empowered to do this work in your own life. That's why I believe in this course.
For more information about the Activating Resilience program, check the show notes or go to purpleco.com.au/activating-resilience. I know my listeners really love hearing a long history, because we've got so much marketing garbage in our world these days that tells you everything is instant. Tomorrow you're going to have a $1 million practice if you just do these 7 things. If you just do this one thing on Instagram, you're going to become the next big influencer. You and I have been around long enough to know that that's garbage. So can you give us a bit of a trajectory of a client, like somebody who came to see you and what they were like when they first came and what they might be like now?
I actually have 2 quick stories, my top favorites. I have a coaching client that I've been seeing for, I believe it's actually 7 years now. And when they first came to me, they were not even licensed. They were pre-licensed or intern, associate, whatever you want to call them. But they knew that, you know, they wanted to build a practice and then eventually a group practice. But they weren't sure how to do it. And they were coming off another full-time position that they had to wean off of as well. So they didn't know how to do that. So we started working together. And when he got licensed, he was able to go down to a part-time position with the other job that he had. So he's kind of walking down, you know, leaving. He eventually was able to let go and then go into private practice full time. So he's now into private practice full time. He's solo clinician, but he's knows that he wants to build a group practice. So he does his private solo for a little bit, probably about maybe 6 to 9 months. And then he's like, okay, I'm ready to hire somebody, bring somebody out. So we walk through that too, because there's a strategy behind that, folks. Don't just jump in and do it. Please don't jump in and do it. You'll make life crazy for you and me and any other coach. And a fast forward, today he has a staff of over 20 clinicians. He has admin team. He is probably nearing maybe a 2 million mark today in his practice, and he continues to grow. And he worked his butt off. I mean, he did the hard work as we were going through it. And I said, you got to do this, you got to do that. All through that, he also went through and got his doctorate in education. He got married, had a baby. Now he's got 2 babies, and I sit sometimes and I go, whoa, You know, that is really amazing. And he did the hard work. And so when he came, he was like, this is what I want to do, but I'm clueless. I have no idea how to get there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we laugh about all the time is when we get on a call and he'll go, oh, like, okay, what's new? You know, oh, I don't want to tell you because he knows what I'm going to say. I'm going to push him. You know, I helped him up his fees and did that several times. And so but he's willing to do the work.
But he's also willing to invest in a relationship. This is a 7-year relationship, you've just said.
Yeah.
And I think this is an important point because so many people think that to get those types of results, to go from a part-time practice of a pre-license to $2 million a year revenue, 20 responsible for 20 other employees. Well, I obviously don't need coaching. I just need to get stuck in and do it. But he's obviously kind of gone, no, I am going to invest in making sure I'm doing this the right way.
Yeah.
Would that be correct, Frances? Because how many times have we had people who come along and go, I just want a coaching session. I just need one coaching session. And you send them a pre-coaching session questionnaire. And basically they want 18 months worth of coaching done in one session.
Yeah. You know, well, how long is it going to take me to do this? You know, I get that over and over and over when they want to start hiring and building a good practice. And they're thinking, I'm like, okay, well, tell me what's on your mind. What do you think? When do you see this happening? And they're like, oh, like next month. And I'm like, and have you done this? Well, no. Have you done this? No. What have you done? Nothing. Okay, let's backpedal a little bit, sweetheart. It takes some time.
Well, do you want this to be successful, or would you like to make all the mistakes all the other people have made? Like
exactly. But I will tell you. Yeah. I will tell you this though. I have learned that I won't work with anybody unless they spend a minimum of 3 months with me. And I will tell them, I will not take your money. I won't. And they're like, well, but I can't. Because there's no integrity in that, because I know you're not going to get anywhere. And then you're going to be pissed off because you didn't get anywhere and you spent this money. So I'm not going to do it.
And then you feel resentful and then you start blaming that coaching doesn't work. But really what you're saying is, I don't believe in me.
Yeah.
So that's what coaches can see when you withdraw. It's like, and you give us all the reasons under the sun. It's like, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this. Like, you don't believe in yourself. Let us help you believe in yourself. Like,
the second person, real quickly, it was almost the opposite flip-flop. We've been together for a year now, but when she came to me, I'm like, I am not lying. She was doing about 60 plus clinical hours a week.
No.
Per week, yes. She worked 7 days a week, 10 hours a day.
Honey, I want to give her a big hug, say thank you, but no.
Yeah, she literally admitted to me, it's gross. And I was like, that's a perfect scenario. Thank you for acknowledging that. She's a wife, she's a mom of 3 kids, you know. So the money was there for her. It's not a problem. But I got to do something because I'm she's probably, maybe 25 years younger than I am. But I said, you cannot keep this up. It's going to kill you. Or you're just going to walk away because you completely burn out. So the first thing we did was we closed her, calendar to any new clients, period. I don't care what. No new clients. Okay. Then we started to say, okay, she knew she wanted to bring somebody in so she could start handing clients over to clinicians. Okay, this is what we got to do to get you ready to hire. So we did that. She hired. She was able to offload, a good chunk of her clients. She was able to take weekends off of her calendar. She didn't work anymore. She was able to eventually, this is all done steps. She was able to, stop at 5 o'clock so her kids realized they really do have a mom. And now she's taking, you know, 4 or 5 days off here with her husband to go to a trip. She's done that 3 or 4 times this year, and she's already planning trips for next year. And so the flip side, you know, of having such a huge, you know, caseload and money, but needing to shift it because it just says it was not realistic.
Well, it wasn't. It's not sustainable.
It's just not sustainable.
And then we lose another experienced, passionate health professional who's probably going to end up with a horrible health outcome and a dysfunctional family. And that's not what we signed up for. That is not what health professionals signed up for. That is not what we went to health professional school. We did not go to health professional school so we could do a job that made us sick.
I kept hearing Joe's voice in my head almost in every session. Get her out, get her off of this, get her out of here, get her off of the schedule. Because I'm the entrepreneurial, you know, clinician, the book and the burnout that you focus so hard on, you know, to help clinicians. It's just like, oh gosh, you can't. We need you so badly, so badly. Mental health, you know, and any kind of occupational health or, you know, therapist, it's not going away. It's increasing the need.
Yeah, AI is not going to take our jobs, people. It's just not. The reason why AI is trying to get into this space is because there's not enough of us.
Yeah, for sure.
AI cannot deliver best practice. It might be able to deliver baseline practice. It can't deliver best practice. Anywho, Frances, this, because I knew this conversation was going to go long.
I know.
What top three things that people come to you that you kind of wish, oh, good grief. Like, what are the three biggest issues people come to you with?
I'm going to just bullet them off. Overwhelm, because they're trying to do it all on their own. And fear of releasing and getting support and not doing it when they should the very first time. If most people that come to me are 6 to 9 months behind schedule.
Wow.
And then they want, I got to have it right now. And it's like, hello, you know, we have full loads just like you do. And then the third thing is probably they come from bad experiences working with other support systems that, you know, they just really shouldn't be doing it because it's just a nightmare. Sometimes the stories I hear. And it really breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because clinicians need support and they should not have to deal with terror stories like that of having such bad experiences. I think you told me when we first met, you know, you spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to find, you know, the right person.
Yep, I did. I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to find the right person. That was not the coach where I vomited every morning for 7 days because I was in an intensive and I was so distressed by what was going to happen that day. That was not that person. Yeah. Oh, wow. So I think one of the big things, and I want to bring this up, even though I know we're going to go a little bit later here, is because one of the things that I've noticed that you have to talk about a lot is people go, I need this support. I can't handle this on my own. My life's a mess. I'm running out of my own internal resources. Like I've got no resilience left. My self-care's to pot. I'm sick of seeing clients. I'm vicariously traumatized. You don't come to us saying that, by the way, people. That's what we can hear and we can see is going on, by the way. And then you have a discussion about, well, for us to support you, to enable you to get you to where you want to go, you have to invest, and that means paying money. And then all of a sudden people go, oh, my God, you charge how much? And Frances, for those who can't see that, she's laughing. And I'm being quite deliberate in that because it happens to anyone who runs a practice management program, like company, anyone who runs a VA company of any integrity and any coach, you start having that conversation about money and you've already got people saying, this is the most important thing in the world to me until the money conversation. And then we start to work out what we really need to be helping people with. So how do you, would it just, broadly speaking, and this is not, you know, going to be individual advice.
Right.
But how do you help people understand that paying for practice management will release them to earn an income? Because all people see is money going out of their bank account. They don't understand the flow that's going to come in. How do you help people see that?
Most of the time, what I'm going to do when I see that money face is
money face. That's a good
description. Uh-oh, we lost her. I break it down. I don't know if you ever watched The Big Bang Theory, but okay. So there's a really cute scene with Sheldon and Leonard's mom about, you know, because they're both super ridiculously intellectual and everything. And, you know, they're having this conversation about something, and Sheldon asks her, you know, do you want to do the math? And she looks at him, she said, I think I really do want to do the math. And so I do the math. It literally is what I do, because what happens is they'll come to me and they'll, you know, see everything. Oh my God, everything you said is so amazing. This is perfect, blah, blah. And then the money conversation. So if I break it down and I show them, they got to not only look at the actual numbers and dollar signs, mm-hmm. they have to look at the value of number one, what is the service offering them? And we, especially in our phone packages, we have a feature in that package that offers them that most don't, and yet they are paying for that entire amount or that entire feature. But it looks way bigger. So what I do is I literally will take that and say, okay, so let's break it down. And the bottom line is, for lack of time, and I'll keep it short, is I help them to see that the package that I'm quoting them literally now becomes less than minimum wage per hour that they have assistance or coverage. So they could go out and hire somebody at minimum wage full time to sit in their office. They're going to have to train them. They're going to have to oversee them. They're going to have to pay employment taxes and all the crap that goes along with having somebody as an employee. And they're going to pay them more money than what they would pay us for the service that we're already trained. We know mental health. You don't have to manage them. You don't have to pay the payroll taxes. You're going to get a complete result, because I've been in mental health for almost 18 years, so I know how to do this. Mm-hmm. And I break it down into the numbers and I show them. So I'll say, so in essence, instead of paying, you know, $40 an hour for somebody for 10 hours a month, you're paying, you know, $3.72 per hour for full-time coverage. Mm-hmm. And some of them immediately get it, Joe. They're just like, aha moment, you know. Mm-hmm. And then some of them cannot get past the actual number that they're looking at, mm-hmm. or the value of what goes along with that number. You know, and what is it going to do for their practice? You can pay somebody $1,600 a month at minimum wage, 10 bucks an hour, but are they converting your calls? Is your revenue going up? You know, so doing the math and breaking it down is what I see helps, as long as that person is literally ready to spend the money and get the results that they need.
Yeah, and my response, because you've gone that probably works so well, but my response is, well, what's the price you're willing to pay to have your weekends back? What's that worth to you?
Yeah,
what's it worth to you to have your weekends back? You can't monetarily quantify that.
Right.
What would it be worth for you to not have that knot in your stomach anymore that feels like anxiety every time you've got to do a new intake form? You can't put a dollar value on that, but getting people used to spending, because there's this perception that you leave an agency because you've been hired out at, say, you know, $100 an hour, and you decide to go into private practice because you want that $100 all to yourself. That's a lie. It's a myth. It's wrong. It's unsustainable. We've just called you out right then. It's not yours. Number one, you have to pay tax on it. Number two, you've got to keep your license. Number three, you're going to have to pay for your EHR. Like, Stop believing the lie.
It goes on and on and on.
Stop believing the lie. Stop it. Anywho, Frances, okay. So one of the things that I've really, walking away from my microphone, that I admire about you is when you see enough questions, usually in Facebook communities, enough questions about the same thing, and you go, right, there's not obviously not enough people getting the answers that they need or the responses they need, Frances goes and creates it. So she created this amazing thing called the Directory of the Directories. So instead of you having to spend an enormous amount of time working out which directories you need to be on, you can buy Frances's Directory of the Directories. So essentially it lists all of them with hyperlinks. This thing is a work of art. But if you just spent, you know, the whatever the, how much does that thing cost at the moment?
$49.99, I think, and there's 160 listings in there. Okay. And there's probably new ones by now.
Oh, yeah, but okay. So let's take your $49.95, your 160 listings, and you choose 5, and you make your money back within 2 weeks.
Mm.
Like, to me, that's a no-brainer. Like, why waste your time? Which directories are you on? Which ones have you had the best return on investment on? People, wrong question. Okay. So you did that one, and that's a no-brainer. People just need that. If you're in the USA and you're a mental health professional in private practice, you just need this resource. Stop. $49. Sorry, people. Just take on a new client and go do it. Which is
completely $49 less.
Yeah. It's okay. Again, take with wisdom and humor that was intended. All right.
Okay.
So you've now designed a new product for people because you've watched all the conversations about where to get a chair, what does my room need to look like, how do I find a consultant who can consult on this. So what is this new thing that you have created that's going to make everybody's life easier?
That they need it. So for many years, probably about 5 to 6 years, I've been listening in the Facebook groups. And early on, it occurred to me, I was seeing these questions over and over and over, same thing. And it's all, you know, in the therapist group. So it's all clinicians. And it dawned on me, wow, there's something to this. And so I started saving these informations. I don't know if you guys know, you can create folders on Facebook and save things. So when I was still working with Joe, in the mastermind group, it started coming up. And with the help of Joe and a couple other ladies, we realized that this was a hot tool commodity. And so long story short, it is resources of everything you could imagine, from chairs, as Joe said, to podcasts, to coaches, to EHRs, to on and on and on and on. We're already on volume 2 because we had to stop somewhere to get this ready to go out in public. Thousands of stuff. There's books, there's education and courses, there's CEU places, just everything that clinicians constantly are looking for. And the beauty of it is that it is not me, it's not my information, or it's not something I just went out on the internet and grabbed. This is all what I call clinician to clinician. So it's gonna come out probably into the year, called Therapist Headquarters, and we're calling it THQ for short. And this is a membership site. We actually are going to be opening it up even to students because, prepared is good, right? It probably one Starbucks will help students pay for it. For everybody else, it's going to be maybe a couple Starbucks a month. Not maybe. It's curated. It's links directly to everything that is needed. It is just this, as I've had a couple people say, it's a one-stop shop of clinicians pouring in their knowledge, years and years and years of their knowledge of everything, for other clinicians of what they're using. So there'll be your own little space in there, a dashboard for you to do it exactly the way you want and keep things filed. And it's everything that you're going to need to find in one click. You log on and it's there. no more looking here at God, did I save that? Where did I see that? Oh, you know, those kind of things. Hours and hours and hours and hours worth of researching and finding things. And if you find something, how do you know what's good or work? How do you know that book is going to be good for your client? Because another clinician said, this is what I used. It was perfect.
That's we are looking for opportunities to trust one another. We are looking for opportunities to collaborate with one another. We miss community. If there's anything the pandemic showed us, was how much we miss community. Yeah. So this is not a directory. This is not a tool like a down. It's not a download. It's actually a community of people who want to resource each other. And it's not just one thing. It's not just the CEUs. It's not just the supervision. It's not just the how to create forms in your EHR. It's all of it. And people don't pay to be a part of this, right? So I can't actually say, hey, feature me. I'll pay you $1 gazillion. You're like, no, that's not how this works. This is based on recommendations only. Is that right?
Well, the website itself is a membership. They do have to be a member.
No. So I'm as a consumer can be a member, but me as a supplier, I can't pay for your opinion, can I?
No, right. Got it.
Yeah. You're not pimping me out. I'm not pimping you out anyway.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is not somewhere where you get, you know, you're not getting people to pay you money to feature them in this thing. It's purely driven by recommendation.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, at some point, you know, people may want to sponsor, and that's great and super. We'll do it. Because here's the thing. This is what my heart's desire is that this membership site will do, is I want to help so many more clinicians in what MSS does. And because it's going to be an umbrella underneath my solution services, I'll be able to, especially for those clinicians starting out, and they really are tight on money, I could now offer them lower packages that we just can't do right now. So with the revenue from coming in from the membership, it will allow us to give back to the community by lowering some of our rates for services that we offer. So it's a win-win circle all the way around.
Wow, Frances, gosh. Okay, thank you. And I think that's time. I'm just a little bit flabbergasted. I know some awesome people, and you just happen to be one of them. A little teary moment then. Frances, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast and for waiting for me to be available. Now, when we get to meet each other in real life again, and we're actually in a cafe again, what am I ordering for you?
Oh, God, what would you be ordering for me?
Yeah.
You mean like drink wise?
Yeah. If I was going to order you a coffee, what would I be ordering?
A coffee. Oh, you know, my newest love is the iced chai latte.
Iced chai latte. Okay. I've got two people to get chai lattes for. That's okay. I can put you on a separate table from the coffee drinkers. All good.
Okay. Well, so you know me in the espresso thing. It's a little bit aside for me. I have to dilute it with creamers and baking.
It's just for us to have a bit of a laugh at the end of that. So thank you so much for being a part of the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast. I look forward to bringing you another episode very soon. Until then, go be your awesome self. And that is another episode of the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast done. Just want to say a big thank you to all the people who make this podcast possible. To all of my guests, a big thank you for sharing your time, your energy, your wisdom with me and my community. You are greatly appreciated. To Debbie and Jen, thank you for making this possible. And in the spirit of respect, please ask for and receive permission before you use any of my intellectual property. Because you know what? Not giving appropriation to creators is just not cool. Until next episode, go be your awesome self. Oh, and by the way, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and leave me a review so that other people are able to find this podcast. That's kind of important. Go do that.